Coming up, some pop music history that's just keen.
I can hardly wait.
Paul Simon scored big thanks to a dead dog.
Oh, that's not right.
60 years and a constant flow of hits, a flow that began thanks to Muddy Water.
Huh?
And Clemente Sonatina in G minor, opus 36, number 5. Very likely one of your very favorite pop hits.
What?
Well, it is.
You got some splaining to do.
Splaining on the way right now at 45 RPM.
Welcome, welcome.
You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
It's not supposed to make that noise.
Look, a song is a song. You either dig it or you don't.
I hope this doesn't go on my permanent record.
Yes, sir. It brings back a lot of memories.
And just for the record,
I guess the only thing we can do is play you a song.
We stand witness to the awesome power of radio.
Your plastic pal who's fun to be with.
And for all of you out there, this is your song.
Welcome.
It's go time.
To 45 RPM and your host, author.
You just never learned to spell.
Humorist.
I don't get it.
Grammy nominated songwriter.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
I'm going to ask you to kill me now. Please kill me.
And award-winning broadcast personality.
Did you try turning it off and back on again?
Scott Edward Phelps.
Now, here comes the music. And to ensure you get the most from your music listening experience, all of our music comes
in song form.
And in addition to that, a feature that we have found useful to our listening audience.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
And
just like that,
everything oldies is new again. Hey everybody, it's Scott Edward Phelps, and welcome to 45 RPM, the Bobby Fuller 4 of I Fought the Law and the Law Won fame, and a little bitty bit of a follow-up to that. Sounds a little bit like I Fought the Law and the Law Won, huh?
A little bit.
That's right. Well, you know what? The Bobby Fuller 4 comes complete with a story, and that's what this episode is all about. No, not a story. That follows momentarily. This episode, it's the one sharing the segments, Volume 2. Back in the days of real live back in radio station studios, we used to do segments in the morning show. Little fun frameworks to put the music in, for example. If I said to you, hey, you're listening to 45 RPM, cats and kitties, and right now, the Bobby Fuller 4. But first, here's a story.
Here's a story.
Then I would tell you a story, like this one. Bobby Fuller 4's manager was a guy named Bob Keane. Now, Bob Keane also managed Ritchie Valens. And in 1957, Mr. Keane met a guy who was singing with a group called the Soul Stirrers. Now, Keane released one of that singer's demos as the first single from his newly formed Keane Records. And with a little help from DJs who liked the B-side better, he had a number one hit in November of that year. The A-side? Well, it was an old George Gershwin classic.
Summertime, and the living is easy.
The B-side? The song that introduced the world to the once-in-a-lifetime sound of Sam Cooke.
Darling, you send me, I know you send me.
You're listening to 45 RPM with Scott Edward Phelps.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
And speaking of the Bobby Fuller 4 sounding just more than a little bit like I Fought the Law and the Law Won, I'll tell you something about that song right there, Love's Made a Fool of You. You know who that sounds like?
Wow, you know who that sounds like?
In more recent years, an acclaimed actor did a movie called Crazy Heart in which he played a failing, flawing, drinking, flawed human being kind of country sort of singer. And actually had kind of a hit record with one of the songs that he did in the movie. With a song that sounds not just a little bit like Love's Made a Fool of You, here's what a little bit of love can do. It's Jeff Bridges at 45 RPM.
you?
Hi, this is Tony Barrow. I was the Beatles press officer back in the 60s, and you're listening to Scott Edward Phelps.
And it's always fun to do a spot of Beatle business. Even if it sounds like I'm going into My Fair Lady.
Oh, don't.
Or a bad impression of Dick Van Dyke.
Stepping time. Come on, matey, stepping time.
After all these decades, it's really hard to find Beatles songs that aren't familiar because so many of them have become so familiar over the years. But every now and then, one pops up. We go, you know what? That's kind of cool, and I haven't heard that one for a while. Case in point, this was never an A-side single per se. It was never a big chart hit per se. It was a fun little tune written for and performed in their second movie, Help. But it is undeniably and unmistakably Beatles at 45 RPM.
You're gonna lose that girl.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
If you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change her
mind. She's gonna change her mind.
And I will take her out tonight, and I will treat her kind.
I'm gonna treat her kind.
You're gonna lose that girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose. If you don't treat her right, my friend, you're gonna find her
you're
gone.
Gonna find her gone.
Cause I will treat her right, and then you'll be the lonely
you're
one.
Not the only one.
You're gonna lose that
yes,
girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose
girl.
That girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
I'll make a point of taking her away from you. What you do, yeah. The way you treat her, what else can I do?
Of taking her away from you. Watch what you do, yeah. The way you treat her, what else can I do?
If you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change
she's
her mind.
She's gonna change her mind.
And I will take her out tonight, and I will treat her
I'm
kind.
I'm gonna treat her kind.
You're gonna lose that
yes,
girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Listening to 45 RPM with Scott Edward Phelps.
What else you got?
What else I got? Well, what I got is a lot of great music to be found at 45 RPM, but a whole lot of great music also to be found from the days when we just listened to the other side of the record.
What turned it over, man?
What was that with the flip?
I will see you on the other side.
You know, you're going to flip just one time too many, Mansi.
Old people, present company included, would remember when the 45 single came along, there was a song on one side and a song on the other side. The A side, the main song being pushed, and the B side, something to put on the other side of the record because it would have looked silly if there was nothing there.
Yeah!
But more than once throughout the history of rock and roll, and pop music in general, the song on the other side turned out to be the song that people preferred. Primarily, this is true, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I've experienced this myself as a professional songwriter of some renown. Mainly because a lot of times the business people, the suits, as it were, who make those decisions, wouldn't know a hit song if it bit them in the ass.
That's pretty much it.
That said, in 1976, Kiss, those quiet folk balladeers, released a single in true Kiss style.
In song form.
Yes, in song form. We've talked about that. Detroit Rock City.
Everybody's gonna leave this scene.
Disc jockeys of the time, though, being astute and used to finding gems on the other side of the record often, I would refer you to the earlier comment about suits.
Uh-oh, we got a moron here, is that it?
Found this little gem, and well, gosh darn, the response was so strong that the suits went,
Perhaps we should release this as the primary A-side, as it were, and so they did.
And it turned out to be Kiss's biggest commercial hit, number 7 in the Hot 100,
a gold record certification, and VH1's 25 Greatest Power Ballads ranked this song number 3. That was when VH1 used to play songs and videos, and not old reruns of Leave It to Beaver.
Gee, Wally.
Or science fiction movies. I saw Independence Day on VH1 the other day.
What the hell is going on?
Oh, and stand by for a little extra something after you enjoy Kiss at 45 RPM.
Beth, I hear you calling, but I can't come home right now. Me and the boys are playing, and we just can't find the sound. Just a few more hours, and I'll be right home to you. I think I hear them calling. Oh, Beth, what can I do? What can I do? You say you feel so empty, that our house just ain't a home, that I'm always somewhere else, and you're always there alone. Just a few more hours, and I'll be right home to you. I think I hear them calling. Oh, Beth, what can I do? Beth, what can I do?
Before joining Kiss in the 1970s, drummer Peter Criss was in a group called Chelsea, and he and that group's guitarist, Stan Penridge, decided to write a little mocking song about the wife of their bandmate, Mike Brand, who was named Becky. Becky apparently regularly called the group during rehearsals to ask when her husband would come home.
What a buzzkill that was.
What are you going to do? And that gave him the idea of composing the first verse of the song. Becky, get it? Beck, I hear you calling, but I can't come home right now. Criss actually later admitted that he composed the song for his first wife, Lydia. Well, after he joined Kiss, he threw the song at the guys, and Gene Simmons was the one who suggested they change the name to Beth.
That's so much better.
Because it would be easier to sing, and it would avoid confusion with Yardbirds guitarist Jeff Beck. Because a love song to Jeff Beck, that probably wouldn't have been taken the right way in those days.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I know. I just said that.
Hi, I'm Erica Lee, longtime radio DJ turned podcaster. If you love 70s music, check out my 70s Spotlight series. That's where I pick a random week during the decade and count down highlights from that week's top 40 chart. Just go to Podomatic.com and search Erica Lee's podcast. Now, back to Scott Edward Phelps.
You're listening to 45 RPM. This time around, the one sharing the segments, Volume 2. This is the second episode like this that we've done. Back in the old days of fun live radio, remember that, before syndication took over? Well, we all used to play pretty much the same songs, but we tried to frame them in different ways to make them a little more entertaining, in at least theory. Trivia stuff, fun contest stuff, things like maybe the origin of a hit song, for example. Hey! Where'd that come from?
Hey!
Where'd that come from?
Songwriters are often asked, where'd you get the inspiration for that particular song? In the case of this hit from Paul Simon in the early 1970s, he said, quote, last summer we had a dog that was run over and killed, and we love this dog.
Hoax sad!
I know. quote, "It was the first death I'd ever experienced personally. Nobody in my family died that I'd felt that, but I felt this loss, 1 minute there, next minute gone. And my first thought was then, oh man, what if it was my wife? What if somebody like that died? Death, what is it? I don't get it." And obviously, with lyrics like, "I can't for the life of me remember a sadder day," it's clear that the song wasn't supposed to be feeling groovy by any stretch.
Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
But the strangest part of the tale is where the title of the song came from. Simon says, quote, "I was eating in a Chinese restaurant downtown. There was a chicken and egg dish. And I said, I love this title. I got to use that one. The name of the dish and the name of the song, Mother and Child Reunion." Chicken, eggs.
Now, doggone it, there's something wrong here. I know there's something wrong.
I know. Paul Simon at 45 RPM.
No, I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day. But the mother and child reunion is only a motion away. Oh, little darling of mine, I care for the life of. Remember a Saturday. I know they say let it be, but it just don't work out that way. And the course of a lifetime runs over and over again. No, I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day. But the mother and child reunion is only a motion away. Oh, little darling of mine, I just can't believe it so. Though it seems strange to say, I've never been laid so low in such a mysterious way. The course of lifetime runs over and over again. But I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day, when the mother and child reunion is on the emotion way.
RPM. I'm Scott Edward Phelps, and it's
time for Family Affairs.
Mitch Murray was a very successful songwriter in the British Invasion days, wrote hits for Dave Clark 5, Freddie and the Dreamers, the Tremolos, Georgie Fame. He even wrote a song producer George Martin wanted his Fab Four to record.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew.
That's the demo the Beatles begrudgingly did and then turned the song down.
Bye-bye.
Martin passed the song on to Jerry and the Pacemakers, major hit makers.
Don't let the sun catch you crying. The night's the time for all your tears.
It's gonna be alright, alright, alright. It's gonna be alright
today. So ferry across the Mersey, 'cause this land's the place I love, and here I'll stay. People, they rush everywhere.
And Jerry totally loved Mitch's work.
I like it, how you do it. It was our hit record, as you know. It was wonderful. She loved singing, and they were big in the States. It was tremendous for us.
Voila, another hit. Oh, and family? Well, frontman Jerry Marsden and his pacemakers relied heavily on the solid backbeat of their drummer, Jerry's brother Freddie, at 45 RPM.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. How do you do what you do to me? I'm feeling blue. Wish I knew how you do it to me, but I haven't a clue. You give me a feeling in my heart, like an arrow passing through it. Suppose that you think you're very smart, but won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? If I only knew, then perhaps you'd fall for me like I fell for you.
Coming up, the song that made him a star, that he came to hate, and he continued to perform at every show because he was a class act. And I got to sing it live with him a few times.
You go, girl.
When it comes to successful satanic stuff, best to leave well enough alone.
Yes.
And McKinley Morganfield gave Lewis Jones all the inspiration he needed to name the band that Michael Phillip and company made superstars.
What?
We'll play the name game. And more Stacks of Wax, cats and kitties, when the one sharing the segments returns.
Then perhaps you'd fall for me like I fell for you. When I do it to you.
A lot of great music to be found when 45 RPM continues. Welcome.
Hello.
To 45 RPM and your host, author.
Oh, it's so hard to get to 500 words.
Humorist.
You're joking.
I never joke.
Grammy nominated songwriter.
Oompa, loompa, doompa dee doo.
Oh my God.
And award winning broadcast personality.
La 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 la, I am not listening. La 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 la.
Scott Edward Phelps.
And now, to protect the rights and lives of decent citizens.
The term decent citizens, of course, always being relative. Welcome back to this episode of 45 RPM, this time around the one sharing the segments, the second in a series, ergo we call it volume two, of the kind of stuff we used to do in morning radio and afternoon radio, drive time radio, playing the songs they tend to get, you know, you hear the same songs over and over again.
You must listen to this recording again and again. And again,
that's because the experts have little pie charts and bar graphs that say that you want to hear the same songs over and over again. And that's right, right?
Oh, hell no!
Yeah, of course. Those of us that played the songs knew better, because we knew what you liked. But you can't argue with pie charts and bar graphs, right?
Of course not.
That's what I'm saying. Here's an example of a fun little goofball thing we used to do. Hey, let's play the name game.
The name game.
Let's do Tucker. Bo Bucker. All right, it would go something like this. Turns out that early on, the guitarist for this band was on a phone call with Jazz News, a trade publication, to line up a gig, and they asked him the name of the band. Well, the band didn't really have a name, so the guitarist started looking around the room, and he saw a record lying face down on the floor, a classic record by the noted artist McKinley Morganfield.
Who is this?
What? The name of the song popped out at the guitarist, and he spit it out without missing a beat. The rest of the band loved the work, and so the song from McKinley Morganfield became the name of the band. The guitarist, Lewis Jones. Well, actually, he was better known as Brian Jones. McKinley Morganfield, blues devotees know him better as Muddy Waters. And that song, Rolling Stone. Can you guess what the name of the band is?
Oh, by all means, I'd be quite prepared for that eventuality.
There you go. At 45 RPM.
Anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls, the fine dressed in their summer clothes. I have
never to come back. Go turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you. If I look hard enough into the setting sun, my love will laugh with me before the morning comes. I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors.
Listening to 45 RPM with Scott Edward Phelps.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Speaking of reaching out and touching somebody, hey, who's on the phone with us now?
Hey, who's on the phone with us now?
Frankie Valli, lead singer of the Four Seasons, iconic voice for 60 plus years. Dude, it is really an honor to have you talking to me today. I appreciate it. One of the Four Seasons' biggest hits almost wasn't called what it was eventually called. Tell me about that.
We were flirting with going with this record company, Perry Records, and the owner had a daughter named Perry, and he wanted us to change the song to Perry, and Gaudio, who wrote the song, he's absolutely not. He says, I wrote the song to be Sherry, and that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be Perry or Mary or anything. It's going to be what it is.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about Suits and how they just can't seem to make intelligent decisions. Let me ask you this, since it's, you know, just you and me all quiet here, the two of us talking. Something I've always wanted to ask you, if you don't mind. The Beatles said in one of their songs that the word is love, but you said grease is the word. So, dude, which is it? Frankie? Mr. Valli? Perry? Yeah, I know, it's a stupid question. It's a great song, though. Four Seasons at 45 RPM. Yeah.
Sherry, baby.
Everything Oldies is New Again, 45 RPM.
That's the fact, Jack!
And now another useless fact.
In 2014, a group of researchers in England released an online test called Hooked on Music. 1,000 little pieces from pop hits going all the way back to the 1940s and asked 12,000 participants to identify songs as fast as possible. They were looking to find out what's the catchiest song in pop music. The average time to identify most pop songs, 5 seconds. Coming in at number one, 2.3 seconds, the catchiest song in pop music.
I got a bad feeling about this.
And it's right you feel that way, because what you really, really want is not to hear Spice Girls at 45 RPM.
Yo!
Listen to 45 RPM with Scott Edward Phelps.
And for a little detox, let's wander over into the culture corner for a minute or two. because it's what I really, really want. There are a lot of very successful pop songs that are rooted in classical music. Eric Carmen's All By Myself was based in and around Rachmaninoff's Concerto 2 in C minor. Elvis's It's Now or Never is actually melodically lifted directly from Eduardo DiCaprio's O Solo Mio.
Eduardo Caroccio.
No, DiCaprio, not Caroccio. Barry Manilow's Could It Be Magic? Chopin's Prelude in C minor number 20. Yoko was playing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata at the piano one fateful day, and John Lennon said, "Hey, can you play that backwards?" And she did, and it became Because, the lovely song from Abbey Road. And even John Denver, not to be confused with Hi, I'm Glen Campbell.
I'm Glen Campbell.
No, John Denver. His lovely, lush, pretty squishy Annie song was based in and around Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5. But Tony Wine and Carol Bayer Sager, songwriters of some renown, took the opening of the final movement of Italian composer Muzio Clementi's Sonatina in G minor, Opus 36, No. 5. And turned it into a groovy, groovy hit. Sebi youngsters would best remember it from Phil Collins' cool version, but we go all the way back, don't we, boomers, to the mid-1960s. Mr. Wayne Fontana and his Mind Benders. And how groovy is it? It's a groovy kind of love at 45 RPM.
When I'm feeling blue, all I had to do is take a look at you. Then I'm not so blue. When you're close to me, I can feel your heartbeat. I can hear you breathing in my ear. Wouldn't you agree? Baby, you and me got a groovy kind of love. We got a groovy kind of love. Anytime you want to, you can turn me on to.
Again, 45 RPM with Scott Edward Phelps.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Been 10 long years since the devil laid his fiddle at Johnny's feet, and it burned inside his mind the way he suffered that defeat. In the darkest pits of hell, the devil hatched an evil plan to tempt the fiddle player, for he's just a mortal man. The sin of pride, the devil cried, is what will do you in.
I thought we had this settled. I'm the best it's ever been.
Johnny, did you ever know the time keeps marching on? The coldest hour is the one comes just before the dawn. The devil's back in Georgia. Will you stand up to the test? Or will you let the devil be the best?
Truth is, I hadn't played much since the baby came in June. But give me half a minute and I'll get this fiddle back in tune.
The devil grabbed the golden fiddle out of Johnny's hand and said,
"Boy, I'm the fiddle player underground, but now I walk upon the land."
We'll be right back.
be turning back if you want this boy to win.
Cause practice is the only cure for the predicament he's in.
Now, devil, it would be a sin for you to get my bow. So you go on back to hell to the woodshed, I will go.
Practicing, or will your hands grow cold? The devil walks the land and plays a fiddle made of gold. Can you hear the babe a-crying? Will he ever know? The devil wants his daddy's very soul.
Well, that's from a very special folder labeled, If at First You Succeed, Walk Away. That's the sequel to the great Charlie Daniels hit, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, featuring the voices of Marty Stewart, Travis Tritt, and, of course, the Man in Black.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
And next to last, from a little feature we've done on the show from time to time, last but not least, the very last song ever recorded for the very last album ever put out by a phenomenal group that went a number of different ways and created other great music along the way. Bruce Palmer, Richie Furay, Dewey Martin, and the two main dudes, Neil Young and Stephen Stills. It's Buffalo Springfield at 45 RPM.
When the dream came, I held my breath with my eyes closed. I went insane like a smoke ring. The wind blows. Now I won't be back till later on, if I do come back at all. But you know me, and I miss you now.
RPM. And
finally!
And finally, a few pages from my own scrapbook. It's 6 degrees of me.
6 degrees of SEP.
He was a one-of-a-kind, once-in-a-lifetime singer, performer, songwriter of some accomplishment, classic pop hits, radio staples, Loving Arms.
I'm lying in your loving arms again.
Of course, Drift Away.
Give me the beat, boys, and free myself.
But his first claim to fame came in 1965 with a song that went, I think, top five in the charts and was what you'd call dated now because it talked about a particular era, certain terminology, and he hated it. Not when he did it. He was a smart guy, and I'm sure back when he got started, you do what you have to get your foot in the door and on the ladder of success. But I had the good fortune to meet him in the 1980s. And through some circumstances, actually went out on the road with him and was part of his backup singing group for 4 or 5 dates. and we had the chance to have some late night bus conversations, and he was very honest with me. He just told me, he said he couldn't stand the song, it made him crazy. It was the equivalent of when we look at old videos or home movies of ourselves and we go, I can't believe that's me. But the kind of classy guy he was, he understood something. He understood that he was a performer and that people paid money and took their time to come and see him and hear him. And he did the song, amongst his other hits, every single concert. And I gotta tell you, it was a lot of fun to sing backup on that song, because I was 14 years old when that song was out. And if my 14-year-old friends in the day had known that I would be singing on stage with him someday, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They would have known that I was destined to be in the in crowd with Dobie Gray and 45 RPM.
I'm in with the in crowd.
Scott Edward Phelps. Join me next time. There's lots of great music to be found at 45 RPM.
Dudes get lost now, you hear?
We'll catch you next time.
Time to get back to the real world.
And like that,